If you're following along this morning, we'll be in Romans chapter 12. It's great to see everyone today, and the visitors especially, and looks like we got a great week coming up into Thanksgiving here. Now this morning, I wanted to talk a little bit about mind adjustment, in a sense, as Paul relates to us here. Sherlock Holmes and his friend Dr. Watson went on a camping trip. They set up their tent and fell asleep. An hour later, Dr. Watson was woken up by his friend Holmes, who was shaking him. He says, "Watson, look up at the sky and tell me what you see." Watson replied, "I see millions of stars." "What does that tell you?" asked Holmes. Watson thought about it for a minute and said, "Astronomically speaking, it tells me there are millions of galaxies and potentially billions of planets. Astrologically, it tells me that Saturn's in Leo. Time-wise, it appears to be approximately 1:15. Theologically, it's evident the Lord is all-powerful and we are small and insignificant. Meteorologically, it says we'll have a beautiful day tomorrow." So Watson asks Holmes, "What does it tell you?" Holmes looks at him with a befuddled look on his face and says, "Watson, you idiot, someone's stolen our tent." You know, sometimes we kind of miss the obvious out there and get caught up in the larger picture, or, you know, the real philosophical things. But it's important that we're not unlike the world. We need to be attentive because life can creep up on us. Sin can creep up on us, and bad influence can creep up on us and influences us in that way. And we see all the things the world has to offer, but we don't realize that our tent, our protection from the elements, has been taken away from us. D.L. Moody once said, "The scriptures were not given for our information, but for our transformation." And that's what we're going to look at this morning, the chapter 12 of Romans, the first three verses. Paul wrote, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment. Each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned." So the first thing we're looking at here as Paul is talking to the Romans is that surrender to God, that giving up to God. You know, there's a process of molding in plastic where they use a vacuum to suck the plastic up and to have it conform to the mold that it's in there. And they call that vacuum forming. And the world's kind of like that. It wants to draw upon us and cause us to conform to what it wants us to be. Not only in enticing ways, you know, with ads that show all kind of appealing things. If you buy the right car, do the right things, go to the right places, but also in the way that it tells us, well, why are you critical of others? Why do you stick to the Bible? Why do you do this? Why don't you just accept everyone? Isn't that wonderful that everyone accepts everybody? And it's not a point of accepting, but it's a point of conforming to what God wants us to be. What are we going to be drawn to? Are we going to be drawn to this world and conform to it, or be drawn to God? Renewal begins by offering up our, as Paul wrote, our whole body, soul, mind, and spirit to the Lord. Luke 10:27 tells us, "And he answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind." You know, it's we're coming into the holiday season and Thanksgiving, and people look to those, and it's kind of times of the year when on Thanksgiving we pay thanks to God. If we believe in Him, we're thankful for the things we have, and, you know, what we've gotten through the years. And of course, Christmas, when the world traditionally celebrates the birth of Jesus and kind of pays a little bit of attention to Him. But what But our Lord is telling us here in the book of Luke, chapter 10:27, is that we're all for him or we're against him. Remember what Jesus said in Revelation. He said, if you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. Not being on fire for the Lord all the days of our lives is not acceptable to him. Look what Jesus did for us. Look what God did for us. You know, people get so angry, why does God want me to do this? Why does he want me to do that? Because if you believe God, and you believe he created everything, he created us. And in the falling away of man, he didn't wipe the slate clean. We are here today because of the mercy of Jesus Christ and his sacrifice for us and the mercy of his Father, God Almighty in heaven. Not that we're just here in church, but that we're here at all. That God didn't wipe the slate clean and destroy the world and say, they're not going to follow me. It's all worthless. That's not what God did. It takes a conscious effort to present ourselves to the Lord by disciplining ourselves for godliness. Now, you know, I've suggested this before, and a lot of people, and I'm not the first one to come up with it, but put notes in verses. I've been to places, and someone has their little cubicle, and there's a few quotes and verses in there. Some of them are comforting, some of them are inspirational, whatever kind of fits how they want to feel. But those verses are always there in front of them, and we need to have our verses in front of us. If we're going through trials and temptations, Psalms would be some good verses to go to, and others too, and just inspirational and motivational. So we have to discipline ourselves. It's not easy. You know, the world, we experience it every day, and it has its influence on us. From the day we get up, from the morning when we get up, turn on the television and watch the news or whatever we watch and see all the commercials and everything. We get in the car and there's the radio and we hear all the commercials and hear what we hear. And throughout the day we hear our co-workers and some of them are good and some of them kind of follow the world and everything. We have that influence on us. Almost 24/7, all the waking hours that we're awake. How little time, when you think in terms of that, do we think of God? Hopefully we think of him often. Hopefully we ponder his word. Hopefully, maybe there's something in the Bible that caught our eye today, or if we read the Bible, something that never really captured us as much as it did, and we think about it all week, and we meditate on that, we learn about it. We find out more about it. These are the things that conforms us to what God wants us to be. Paul urges us to be present, to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. Every day, we're required to resurrender. Every day, we have a choice of what we're going to do that day. Keep following God. Some people have a choice to start following God. But we have a choice to resurrender, resubmit, and straighten up our minds if we need a little bit of straightening up there. And, you know, the purpose of following God. Set aside the time in the morning to worship and pray. Think about God when we're driving to work. We're thinking about something. You know, we're thinking about the bills we need to pay, and we're thinking about this and that. We're hoping there's no wrecks on the interstate that's going to make it a long commute in the morning or anything like that. And so we can think about God, too. Also, joy. You know, we need to be the happiest place on earth. You know, Disney likes to claim they're the happiest place on earth. But the church on Sunday, and in our lives on a daily basis, we need to be the happiest place on earth. Philippians 4:4 tells us, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Nehemiah chapter 8 and verse 10, do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. When we find our strength through the joy of the Lord, he renews our desire to please him in all respects. By delighting in the Lord, he gives us the desires of our hearts. Regardless of our circumstances, his joy is transcendent over all disappointments, difficulties, and discouragements. How else would you explain the joy that our brothers and sisters in Africa, in India, in Asia, all these poor countries that, you know, people have, in Africa, some people live in dung huts. You know, they make it out of the dung and the dirt and And that's what they live in. In Central America, they live in little rusting tin shacks. No doors, maybe a sheet to cover. In India, they live in similar circumstances. And yet, they have so much joy in their heart. It's almost a shame that we here in America don't have that joy. But we're jaded by all the devices we have and, you know, everything that we have. And, you know, if you set the microwave up for a minute and that food's not piping hot and some of it's still cold at the end of it, we get aggravated and stir it up a little bit and stick it in for 15 seconds longer. When these people have struggled to find a meal, we walk 10 feet and find one. And if it takes too long to cook, if it's more than a minute or two, well, that's a whole lot of trouble. So I think we get spoiled a lot of times. And that does take us away from God. We need to have the joy that those people have in their joy with nothing that they have, you know, as far as physical amenities or material or anything like that. And yet they have so much joy. That's the joy we should have. Who should be more joyous than the person who's been promised by God Almighty, the creator of the universe, who created everything. And here we are, just an insignificant person on an insignificant speck. I think God created the universe so big so that he could show how much he loves us. That in everything he did, that little old me and little old you can mean something to him. Mean enough for him to allow his son to go to the cross and for Jesus to die for us. I want to know that person, and I want to follow him all the days of my life, because in that is the joy that transcends this world. It transcends sickness. It transcends richness. It transcends our poorness. It transcends everything in our life. It's the glue that holds us together until we reach salvation. We need to remember the good things you have and are becoming in Christ. People who have forgotten the benefits of being in Christ tend to slip back into mediocrity and self-destructive tendencies. They fall back into sin because it's not important to them anymore. You know, sometimes we as Christians need to stop along life's road and look back. Although it might have been winding and steep, we can see how God directed us through His faithfulness. You know, back then, if we didn't get the job we thought we should have got, or didn't get to go here, or didn't get to go there, and we thought it was so disappointing, but looking back, we can see how it was patterned and ordered. And where we're at now is where we need to be in God. F.E. Marsh described what a Christian can see when he looks back. And from Deuteronomy 5:15, he sees the deliverance the Lord has wrought. God has delivered us. In the parable of the wheat and the tares that we learned in class this morning, we're delivered from that. Only through Jesus' sacrifice can God punish the wicked from those who follow Him. You notice I didn't say perfect. We can't be perfect, we can't be sinless, but because of the blood of Christ, and because He holds in His hands the book of life, He owns those who follow Him. And we'll be delivered from our sin, and we'll be delivered from the punishment awaiting those who don't follow Him. Deuteronomy 8:2. The way He has led. He tried to lead His people. He tried to instruct Adam and Eve. And He's tried all through the Bible. The Bible is really a book documenting man's misstep and God's efforts to bring us back on the right road. He leads us down the path of righteousness. He leads us, as the psalm says, by still waters. He leads us to a place of peace where in a world of chaos, we can find a little solace. The blessings He's bestowed upon us in Deuteronomy 32:7-12. We truly are blessed. We're blessed more than, you know, anyone can tell, you know, compared to the world. It's just that way. The victory He has won for us, Deuteronomy 2:2-7. He's done so much to us, an encouragement, Joshua 23:14. God takes us a long life's journey and takes us through the roughest parts and delivers us from all these things to reward us in the end with life's eternal bliss. I don't, you know, who else would you want to follow? Who else do you want to know? When we face difficulties, we sometimes forget God's past faithfulness in us. We see only the dark and dangerous path ahead of us. But we look back and we see that we have the joy of sustenance, the challenge we overcame, and the feeling of God's presence in everything we do. We need to determine that we're dead to these old desires. We're dead to this world, but we live a new life of peace, joy, and happiness and fellowship in the brotherhood that we have here as the church. We need to be filled with the desire to know only God through Christ and submit to His viewpoint and His guidance in our life. Too many people allow the old desires to be fed instead of feeding from the Word and communion with Him. Too much time in the world and not enough time in the Word and thought and meditation of God. Calculate how much the benefits are in following Christ with His forgiveness, the hope, the faith, and the love that He has with us. Compare these to the empty promises of fleshly desires. They pale in comparison because the fleshly desires are fleeting. They fade and they cost money. They take away from us, you know, our heart, our soul. It's wise to give what you, someone once said, it is wise to give what you cannot keep to gain what you cannot lose if you accept Christ and obey Him all the days of your life. You can't hang on to what you have here. In preaching school, I remember an illustration one of the instructors there kind of gave us. You know, sometimes people buy old hearses whenever they retire from the funeral home. And of course, they're going one way down the interstate, and up the interstate comes the hearse with the U-Haul trailer behind it. And his first thought is, they're trying to take it with them. We can't take anything in this world with us. We can't. It's all going to be left behind for others. But what we can take with us is our faithfulness into the next life. And into that next life, we gain all the riches of heaven. Recognize that all the negative programming that has led you in the past, and realize you need to reprogram what your thinking is so that what's good, honorable, excellent, right, true, and worthy of praise, that we do those things. Without an effort to reconsider our faulty assumptions, our decision-making will tend to be the same as those old destructive paths. Anyone will tell you, we learn from our environment. And we learn, and people can be destructive. If they're always putting someone down, when they become an adult, that's the tapes they hear. They hear that person tell them, you can't do anything, you're not worth a penny or anything like that. You're not, you know, you just can't do it. And if we let those things play over and over, that we're worthless and that we're not good and that we're going to follow along with the world. But we need to start playing a different tape. And those tapes that we play in our head come from this Bible here. That we are worthy, that we're loved, that we're cared for, and that God has a purpose for us. And according to the measure of our faith, as Paul said, as we grow in faith, and as we grow in talent, and as we grow in the richness and fullness that God has given us, we need to replace what is fleshly with what's God's Word. Paul wrote, put away anger, jealousy, wrath, slander, and clamor, and put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has forgiven you, Ephesians 4:22-32. That's kind of hard because, you know, I've seen a lot of times over the years, even church people can't forgive each other. And that's terrible when we can't work past differences and at least have, you know, a good cordial relationship with each other. We may not agree on some things, but that way, at least we don't harbor any ill will or hatred towards someone else. Learn how to replace whatever is prompted by these fleshly tendencies with spirit-controlled scriptural principles. Now, we're talking about things, and Paul was talking about things that's not easy. Paul said, I buffet my body so that I can keep it in control. Even Paul dealt with these things. And, you know, maybe he had more success than we did, but we need to try each and every day to conform to what God wants us to be. Let God's Word dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another with songs and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And whatever you do, do it all in the name and the authority of Jesus, Colossians 3:16-17. Paul's life was wholly and solely owned by Christ, and that's how he lived his life, and that's how we need to live our life. That we're owned by the Lord, bought and paid for, and that someday we'll reap the reward that we don't deserve from a God who loves us richly. We need to recognize that God's will for your life is best in all situations. Many people think they can discover the best path for their lives. By praying in everything we do, we need to follow Paul's advice in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. In everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made to God, and the peace of God that passes all comprehension will guard your hearts and minds in Christ. God's will is better than any ways that this world has. And we need to seek them, and we need to pray to God that we adopt them as part of our lives. And be thankful for all that He gives us. Not just on the last Thursday of the month of November, but each and every day of our lives as we realize just how blessed we are. Resist conformity to the world. Know that it's our greatest enemy to our renewal. Our steadfastness in the Lord is that the world. If people provoke us, we are not to lose our cool and our composure. We're not to be boastful, argumentative, or rude when we're criticized. We're not to be divisive when we do not get our way. We're not prematurely write people off because they do not measure up to our standards. The rule of the gospel is positive, not the politically correct mentality of going along to get along. But we need, with love, approach those who are in the wrong. You know, too often, when there's a fault with someone that we know, a brother or sister, everyone's first reaction is to go spread it around to everybody they know. That's good gossip. They have to go and tell the story. But their real response should be to go to that brother or sister and talk to them about the problem or fault that they see and pray with them and love them and help them through these things. Sometimes we don't do it the right way. And I know we've all seen that happen before. Consider the journey ahead of us. It's not over with today unless we go outside and get hit by a bus or something like that. It's not over with. In Luke 6:10 through 12, Jesus said, "He who is faithful in a very little thing is faithful also in much. And he who is unrighteous in a very little thing is unrighteous also in much." Will gain a greater sense of God's favor and of those who call upon the Lord with a pure heart. We find ourselves living with greater love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. We won't fall into the patterns of depression or feeling blue or being angry or anything like that, or fear. We're overcomers with good rather than victims of what is evil. We can overcome through Christ. But if we're just a victim of the things around us, then that's how we're going to be all the days of our life. And we need to recharge our batteries with His grace. Paul wrote, "For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but think so as to have the sound judgment as God has allotted to each his measure of faith." That was in our third verse of Romans 12 that we read this morning. When we give God credit for everything in our lives, we place God as the one who controls everything. When we credit ourselves and say, "Well, it's my talent, it's my brain, it's my hands, it's whatever I do, and my judgment that has made me a success today." Well, who gave all that to you? If you give all the honor to God for everything He's given us, then we can rest assured that He'll keep us going as we go through this life. And He'll continue to honor His promise to us. God infuses a new energy, vitality, and ideas in our mind when we are renewed by His Word, His Spirit, and the fellowship of other believers. Don't think you can go very long on self-charging your spiritual battery. That comes from worshiping together. We need the recharging of God's grace given through the body, through the edification, the encouragement, and enrichment from the other members that we have here today. This is where we come together as a like mind to worship God. You know, closing up this morning, the motor home has kind of allowed us to put all our conveniences of home on wheels. A camper no longer needs to contend with sleeping in a sleeping bag, cooking over a fire, or hauling water from a stream. Now he can park a fully equipped home on a cement slab in the midst of a few pine trees and hook up a water line, a sewer line, electricity. You know, motorhomes nowadays, they have a satellite dish. They press a button and it goes out there and it finds the signal. And there's a big screen that drops down. It's just like home. No more bother with dirt, no more smoke from the fire, no more drudgery of walking to the stream. Now it's possible to go camping and never have to go outside. You can go to the woods and not even step outside the motorhome. We buy a motorhome with the hope of seeing new places, of getting out into the world. Yet we deck it out with the same furnishings we have in our living room. Thus nothing really changes. We may drive to a new place, set ourselves in new surroundings, but the newness goes unnoticed, for we've only carried around our old settings to where we're going. You know, the adventure of a life in Christ begins when the comfortable patterns of the old life are left behind. When we trust in God and step out into this world on faith and do His will. When we step away from the old ways, we can experience the new ways and that joy. I don't know what your condition is this morning. You may need to take those first steps to accept Christ, to acknowledge who He is, to be baptized, to rise again that new creature. You may need to truly renew your mind this morning and get on that right path. Or you may need the church in some way. Whatever it is, won't you come as we stand and sing the song of invitation?